The overarching theme of this whole series this summer is how to walk in obedience to the living God. How to walk in obedience to the living God. And what's interesting is we're going to be looking at the commandment of God with his people to practice Sabbath. And what I want you to know is that there is a provision of rest and security that only God can provide us. There is a rest and a security that the living God wants you to know in the depths of your soul, so that day in and day out, week in and week out, you are experiencing the way of God for how we're supposed to live in a world that is going every which direction. And on the heels of Pentecost, last week, what we looked at is that God is able to fill us. And we talked about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be some continuation of that message today. We're going to kind of thread these series together. But as we saw God filling his followers with his Spirit, it is so that we can live into his kingdom. We can live in the way of Christ, which I know I'm biased and I'm professionally obligated to say this, but his way is better. We already sung about it. The scriptures are going to speak to this truth. Obedience to the king leads to an overflow of his kingdom to us and through us. Look, if you want heaven on earth, but you're not following the king of heaven, it's going to be hard to get it. If you want the gifts of heaven to be full in your life and you have no regard for the king of heaven, that's an interesting way to live. This obedience to the King of Heaven is how we begin to welcome the reality of heaven to us and through us. Our lives surrender to Jesus, making room, waiting and receiving the Holy Spirit, understanding that this call to obedience and this invitation to Sabbath is for us, but it is to declare a witness to the world. We're going to see it in the scriptures today. So I'm just curious, how would we grow in obedience to God? How do you grow in obedience to the living God? First off, we have to address our allergy to the word obey. Just period. Like, we have to begin to understand obedience is goodness and mercy. It's the kindness of God for us. But here's how we do it. We have to grow as a humble people depending on God every day. If I am dependent on God, if I just go, look, the humility of my life is I can't do it on my own, I have to depend on God, then it becomes a lot easier just to do whatever God says. Because you've already settled it in your soul. God, I depend on you. Oh, you want me to love my enemy? Great, let's do it. But by your Spirit, because you fill me, and by your word, because you testify of your kingdom, and with your community helping me along the way. But if we learn how to depend on God for everything, then obedience becomes more about our connection to God than anything else. So here's the truth to live by today. God is at work, and God is able to lead us. God is at work, and God is able to lead us. If we begin to live out of that truth, then obeying his command to Sabbath becomes very simple. We don't need to overcomplicate it. Lots of things in life are complicated. This does not have to be one of them. Here's what I mean. 1 Corinthians 12, 3 through 7 says this, "Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." So our obedience is when we're full of the Spirit, we're saying, "Jesus, you are Lord. You are over all of my life. You have authority. It is your way that is better than mine, and so I follow you. I humbly let Jesus be Lord." It's the work of the Spirit, continuation of Pentecost last Sunday. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit is distributing them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but here it is. "But in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work." And it says, "And the work of the Spirit is given for the common good." Our obedience to God is good for us, but through us it becomes good for the community. It becomes goodness for a world in need. It becomes goodness to our homes and our workplaces. So obedience is how life flows from God to the world. See, Paul is reminding us that Pentecost Sunday, which is what we celebrated last week, I'm trying to connect us here, is not limited to a single event, historical, or a single Sunday on the church calendar. It is the way God continues to encounter the people he loves. He gives us himself. God has always desired to be in relationship with us. God is able to lead us. Amen? The question is, will we follow? How many of you are on social media? How many of you don't like being told to raise your hand in public? No, I'm just kidding. Look, the whole world is built on followership. The problem is it's inviting you to follow things that consume your life, don't give it to you. The whole system that we're living in right now is built on followership. The question is, will we humbly follow God, or will we live the rest of our days thinking we're in ultimate control and we're following everybody else? We're following other things. Will we follow God, and will we walk in obedience to him? Last week, we looked at some of the story unfolding in the Old Testament in Exodus. Exodus is an Old Testament book that talks about the story of God for deliverance of his people. And I'm going to continue there today. And as we engage God for our life today, let's look at why Sabbath is an invitation. Why would God invite us to Sabbath? So this is kind of the setup for the weeks to come, so I hope it makes sense to you, but if it doesn't, that's okay. We're going to do this for about 8 to 10 weeks. We're going to be talking about the rhythms of Sabbath. But let me just set up where we're going to be in Exodus. You need a little backdrop. It'll help kind of fill the story in, because maybe you've never, anybody ever read the book of Exodus before? Yeah, it's kind of wild. You should go check it out. So Exodus 13, we get this moment where Pharaoh lets the Israelites go. Maybe you've heard that, like, let my people go, right? That's Exodus 13. In Exodus 16, we get them out in the desert with limited resources, and God begins to rain down manna and quail from heaven. And there's some interesting kind of rules around it for how it actually works, but God is providing them resources they could not provide for themselves. It is incredible news. And it is miraculous, because God is able to do things I cannot do. In Exodus 16, 23, we get this interesting part of the story. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. We begin to see this command of Sabbath rest enter the story in Exodus 16. Then we get to Exodus 20. Exodus 20, starting in verse 8, says this, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work until, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals. Man, pets are like rejoicing right now. Nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Keeps going, Exodus 24. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice. Let's practice this together with one voice. Read it. Everything the Lord has said. Oh, wait. It's hard for you to read it when I add it after we've already done the slides. I'll read it with one voice. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. Okay? Guys, this is about to get real fun. Exodus 24. All the people say everything. Everything the Lord has said, we will do. Are y'all with me? It's not going to take them long. Exodus 31, 12 through 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know I am the Lord who makes you holy." So you may know I am the Lord who makes you holy. Does Sabbath make you holy? Are we awake? Does Sabbath make you holy? I am the Lord, not me, the Lord. The Lord is the Lord who makes you. We have to remember this. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Sounds awesome. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. Exodus 31. And what we read last week, we get to Exodus 32. The people became impatient. While all this is happening, they make an idol, a golden calf, and begin to tell a new story. They disobey God. Exodus 24, we'll do everything you say, God. 7 chapters later, we bow down to the golden calf. The golden calf saved us. The golden calf led us out of Exodus. The golden calf is the Lord our God. 7 chapters. And I just go, Lord, have mercy on my soul, because that's my story. How I forget to remember you and keep the Sabbath holy because you are holy and you are my holiness. I forget the freedom that you bought for me and led me out of captivity. I wander in the desert going, God, where are you? But I don't live according to his ways, I live according to mine. 7 chapters. It only took 7. What I want us to see is this. Sabbath is God supplying us with what we need. Sabbath is God saying, I know you. I love you. You are my covenant people. This is what you actually need to live set apart in a world. Sabbath is God setting his people apart. It's a covenant that will look different for us. And Sabbath is God declaring freedom. And this felt so extreme to me. I hope you caught it. When I was reading through this, it's wild to me that God makes this a matter of life and death. This is life and death. He says, obey and observe the Sabbath. And if you do not, what is the penalty? It's death. And I'm like, that feels extreme. Anybody else? Anybody else hear that and you go, I don't like that, God? Come on now. Are we reading the same Bible? He sets this up and he's like, this is about a covenant relationship of trust and walking together, and freedom, and life, and hope. But if you work on the Sabbath, off with your head. It's death. Because I think God knows something I don't. God knows something I don't, that if I begin to live in a way that's disconnected from him and disobedient to him, it is already death. It's disobedience that will lead me to death. He knows how serious this is. Listen to how it reads in Deuteronomy 5. Just to be real clear, my hope in reading all these scriptures is that you would see this is like a more robust story and call on us to be obedient around Sabbath. Deuteronomy 5, Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them. Learn them. Let them fill the ways that you live. And be sure to follow them. Don't just learn them and then do whatever you want. Learn them and follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest, and as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Remember who you were and what you endured. And that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." I think it's clear. Would you agree? You might not be convinced that you want to live this way, but I don't think God is confused or mixing words with us. I think God actually means, I want a covenant relationship with you, which is faithful and trustworthy, and I want to show you how to live. And I genuinely want you to follow me on this one. No other gods, so no other authority more than mine, and I want you to live in a way that is good for your soul. Because you were made in my image, and now I want you to actually live in my image. Because this is how I created everything that you see. This is the God who is holy. And the God who is holy has boundaries and restraint and rests for the refreshment of his good soul. Maybe we should too. Something to consider. So we learn. We follow. We remember. And here's the thing that we're going to get into in weeks to come. Sabbath is like celebration. It is joy. It is connection. It is goodness. It should be our favorite day of the week. Celebrate the Sabbath. Remember who God is and what he's done in your life. Remember where you were before this way of living so you can enjoy what God is doing now as you follow him. The way of living according to God sets us up to be free. And if you see that text, it's so that it's a freedom for those around us. It is freedom for anywhere and everywhere. You have authority and a say in how it goes. So there's 4 key anchors that I want us to hold on to in this text as we begin this series this summer. 4 key anchors. The first is this. As we are obedient and observe the Sabbath, we have to understand it's a holy covenant. Why does that matter? Why does it matter that God is offering you this as a holy covenant? Does it matter? Here's what I think. God is saying this is not a religious system, it's a relational one. This is not something you do apart from God to show yourself worthy of God. This is something you do with God because he loves you and wants to share his life with you. It's a covenant. It is a relationship that moves both ways. God is showing up saying, I have delivered you. I love you. I will forgive you. I am offering you the way of life. And then we learn and follow him in it in relationship. Sabbath is about our relationship with God, not our religious activity. Amen? Okay, good. Here's two reminders. Covenant is not about control. It's about connection. Covenant is not about control. It is about connection. Covenant is not about control. It's about collaboration. God is saying, collaborate with me in your life. Connect with me so we can do this thing together. I made the heavens and the earth. I made the seas and all the animals. I know how to do a lot of things in 6 days, and I know how to rest on the seventh. Come and walk with me and join me. Be obedient to me because I will pour my life into you and I will lead you so you can be free. I can tell you're convinced. So here's how do we do this? It's about connecting with God every day. A covenant with God is not just about one day or one moment or one worship service. It's about prayer and scripture and gratitude. It's about fostering a relationship with God. We'll talk more about that. So let me ask you this. For any of you who've maybe heard of Sabbath before, maybe you're familiar with church, how many days a week do we practice Sabbath? Ruth Gusto. I'm so glad you did that. That was a trick question. For 6 days, you work for the Lord. And on the seventh day, you rest. Sabbath is about every day of the week. The commandment talks about all 7 days. Did y'all see that? It's not so that I set aside one day for the Lord and then I do as I please the other six. It's that I understand all of my days and every week is about Sabbath because it's not just a holy covenant, it is holy work. It's holy work. My 6 days of work are infused by the Lord to be diligent and to walk in his purposes and to glorify him in all that I do, knowing that I've given my full attention to a living God whose kingdom is coming every day of the week, so that when I'm at work, it matters, and then I can go, I did a good job this week, and I can rest on the seventh day. It's all of my life. The Holy Covenant is not for one day a week. The Holy Covenant is for all days of the week, for all parts of your life. And here's why this matters. If I relegate Sabbath to one day a week, I miss the fact that on average, good news, you will work 90,000 hours in a lifetime. 90,000 hours. If Sabbath does not touch my soul for the 90,000, I will never make up for it in a one day a week purpose with the Lord. The Sabbath rhythm is to gather, like just bring all of our life before the Lord so he has full authority on my soul so that I can rhythm every day with God in a holy covenant. And then I can trust him when I take a break and I set it aside because he is God and he is Lord and I am not. And I can rest knowing that he can provide for me when I can't provide for myself. He can do work in me that I can't do for myself. It is about relationship with God. I don't know Annie Dillard, but AI gave her credit for this quote. How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. How you spend your days is how you spend your life. If every day is about holy covenant and holy work, then we begin to see the two things that pour out of who God is. It's holy worship and holy witness. You were made to worship God. And Sabbath teaches us how to do that. And you are made to witness the glory of God through your life to other people. And Sabbath is intended to do that. It sets you apart from a culture so that we don't just look like everything else. It lets a holy God be our holiness so that we can be free and then we can share the gift of God with the world around us. I often think about this. If you are privileged enough to have a job where you get paid time off, do not raise your hand right now. It's really standard in our culture to get 2 weeks, 2 weeks vacation. It's 10 days. If you're in like a real sweet gig, you might get 4 weeks vacation. What? 20 days. 20 days. I know of someone, they'll remain nameless, 10 weeks. Yeah, y'all picked the wrong profession. 10 weeks. Think about the kindness of the living God that says, hey, I want to have a holy covenant relationship with you. I love you. I've wanted freedom for you from the very get-go. I want to be in relationship with you so we can share the life of my kingdom. And yeah, you're going to work, because I do believe that there's a holy work that will be poured out in the earth. But good news. I'm going to hook you up with 52 days of vacation. 52. One day every week. 52. How many of you are taking that deal? And the boss is faithful to provide for all your needs. Some of you right now are like, that felt like a trick, Kurt. You're tricking us. Listen. No other gods before me. No other gods before me. I am the Lord your God who makes you holy. It is not in me. It is not by me. It is not some religious checklist. It is a way of life that God says, right now, I want to pour my kingdom authority out over you so that heaven can begin to fill you with my very presence, so that the life you're living on the earth can look more like heaven, that more of my light can break in where there is darkness. And in a very simple way, followers of Jesus disobey one of these commandments all the time. And I'm not saying that for guilt or shame. I'm just saying if we can't begin to trust God with some weekly rhythms, how do we begin to do all the other stuff? How do we navigate all the other complexities of life? When we're exhausted and we're spent and we are at our wits' end, God is saying, I have something better for you. And I want your life to be worship to me. And I want your life to be a credible witness, so that when people see the way you live and they see what's going on in your soul and in your mind and in your relationships, they see someone who's walking with God. And I only think about that thing inside of me that's like, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you say, until I don't. Because the thing in me is to reach for control. The thing in me is to believe I know better. And God wants to free me from that. And I think there's just an invitation. Like, the world we live in is charging at us all the time. You can work every day. You just can. And here's what I know of my own self. I can be at home, at the dinner table with my family, and my mind is working elsewhere. Right? I looked at my wife. Trust and verify. Trust and verify. Because what actually the Lord knows is my soul is prone to wander. My soul is prone to find security and provision and comfort and whatever it is in other places. And he's saying, come to me. Walk with me. Let me show you how to experience rest. And so in the coming weeks, here's going to be the invitation of Sabbath. One, there is a boundary line at a point God will say you need to stop. 6 days you've worked, it's holy work. It's purpose and calling with God. And you need to stop and experience a rest where I take care of the world, your world, and the rest of the world, because I am love poured out. I am forgiveness for all. I am a God who created it all and will redeem it all. It's good news. We need to practice a rhythm of rest. Our souls need to learn how to rest. I love a good nap. Anybody love a good nap? Some of our fathers, and you know, Father's Day naps, maybe. Shout out to you. I didn't forget about you. You're still here. Physical rest is part of it, but if my heart, if my mind are perpetually moving, if my soul is in constant motion and I'm to the max, I've not let God touch the parts of my life he's actually wanting to reach into. I've got to rest. There's a rest for our souls where we can live at peace. And then there's delight. Celebrate the Sabbath. Celebrate it. Feels like a party to me. Maybe a dinner party. Maybe good food. Maybe good fun. But you're going to see God's heart is that you would delight in him and in one another, and you would experience joy. Oh, it's coming for us. And it's worship. No other gods before me. No idols made out of the earrings we wear. It's worship. A holy covenant, holy work, holy worship, holy witness. God wants all of your life. He wants you. He wants a relationship with you. And so here's the question. Where, not are you tired, where are you tired? Where are you worn out? Where are you committed beyond your capacity? Where do you need rest? That's what the summer Sabbath is going to be all about. God loves you and he cares for you. Let's stand. If you're part of our prayer teams, I'm going to invite you to come down. I was in a conversation this week with one of my friends who's another pastor in the city. And we were talking about being a disciple of Jesus. And it was so good. And we were talking about reading the scriptures. And he said something that was so helpful to me. He said, when we read the Bible, we often ask the question, what should I do because of this? And he said, that's not the first question I would ask, Kurt. And I was like, well, thanks, dude. He said, when we experience the invitation of God and we read the scriptures, he said, maybe the best thing we should feel freedom to ask is, what do I begin to stop doing in obedience to make room for the new way God is going to begin to lead me? So here's your homework with God this week as he speaks to a diverse room who are all on the journey. Today is not an invitation to do more for God. But in obedience, we might need to ask God to show us, what are the things I'm doing apart from you? What are the things I'm doing that are actually not following you? And would you, by your Spirit, give me the courage to let go and to stop some things so that I can then begin to follow you? So Holy Spirit, would you speak to the room today? Would you pour your Spirit out again, God, as you've been so faithful to do? And I pray today that genuinely today would be a day that this community turns to you and sees a God who's not just a covenant God of the Old Testament, but in Jesus Christ is a continuing, new, refreshed covenant that we can walk with you and we can talk with you and we can say, we will follow you with all of our life. God, I pray that you would do a deeper work of obedience in us by your Spirit because you make us holy and you are Lord over all. So deliver us. Bring freedom, and I pray for rest. If you're here today and you are exhausted, I'd let us invite you to come get prayer. If you're here today and you're discouraged, we want to pray for you. If you're here and you have physical stuff going on, financial stuff, spiritual stuff, it has just been hard. We want to pray for the mercy of God. If you just have a desire for more of God in your life, then come. And so God, I bless these people as we go, as we experience the day today. Fill us with your Spirit and lead us in your peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.